to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance being joined right now by Phil Sims, Super Bowl MVP, longtime New York Giant quarterback, and television sportscaster for CBS. Welcome in, Phil. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, look, guys. I was hard to get. I don't know why. It just seemed to never work out. But it's a pleasure to be on with you, and look forward to what we're going to talk about. And I got to say this to Lance. Lance, I think about you every day because I'm always usually as I'm watching teams, I say, well, let me learn more about this guy. I go to what your write-up is, and you give the whole thing. It's pretty good stuff, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. You know, my dad was a coach for a long time in the league, probably coached against you. He's with the Steelers team maybe he came into the league in 2001 with Butch Davis over at the Browns, longtime college football O-line coach, coached with the Steelers with Mike Tomlin and Bruce Arians. And so it's one of those things where you write up these draft reports. I know people like Phil Sims are reading them and for shortcuts on some of the young guys. I can't take shortcuts. I mean, I've got to really do the work on this, on the film study. I want to bring this up since you mentioned that. I wrote up Joe Burrow. John and I were just talking about this. Joe Burrow was one of the most interesting write-ups I've ever had as an NFL draft analyst, because I watched the tape in the summer from the 2018 season. You know, I saw everything was a contested catch on those, you know, on those intermediate out throws. There were throws outside the numbers that just everything was contested. He didn't have a lot of zip on his throws. Now, the next year, Joe Brady comes in, changes the offense, makes it to where he's reading safeties more, and the mentality of Joe Burrow really began to shine. And I think a confidence level just went off with him inside that offense. And I've never seen a jump in sports where a guy went from one thing one year to literally the greatest season of college football. And Phil, the question I have for you is, I don't know how you look at Joe Burrow. I still look at him as a guy who doesn't have a big arm, but his mentality is exactly why evaluators say the arm strength is so much less important than accuracy, poise, and processing for quarterbacks.
Well, there's a lot there. I watched his junior film. I kind of liked it, but you know, not to the degree that I thought he was going to be the first pick of the draft. Mm-hmm. And I realized the offense he was running as a junior was, I'll be kind, it was way below average, and I didn't like what they were doing. But we found out he has a way of what? Influencing other players around him, which is a trait that we don't give quarterbacks talk about enough. He's going to make his teammates better because he's a leader of men, his personality and all that. The first year, I agree with you, Lance. I actually talked to his father, and we had a nice conversation, and my whole thing was, after his junior year, I said, I'd like to throw with him, and I'll teach him to throw it harder. And after his first year was over, we know the knee injury. When he came back last year, I noticed a big difference in him.
Mm-hmm.
And his throwing, his motion had changed. He was, you know, using his body more. I thought he had more power, spinning the ball better, all the things that really you need to do in the NFL to have success. And I liked him a lot coming out of college. You could see he just knows how to, he's an athlete, a sportsman, good basketball player. Just know his movement is way underrated, how good it is. And but if it was me picking, if I'd have been the Cincinnati Bengals, I would have taken Justin Herbert. Yeah, everybody goes, well, you would have. I go, hey, big, tall, athletic, great arm. I liked what he was doing at Oregon. The offense, again, surely wasn't NFL stuff they were doing up there. But they had success, not taking anything away from Mario Cristobal. But that kind of talent, there's no way it can really go wrong if you have a decent team and teach the guys. So, but I think you're all over the Joe Burrow thing and what jumps he's made, and the fact that he got stronger throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked everybody down there in Cincy many times during the year, is Joe Burrow, they go, oh, absolutely, throwing the ball better. And what they did too, John and Lance, is they just turned the football team over to him. And he is able to handle that. That's one of the reasons why they went to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Phil Sims with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We've been talking about Aaron Rodgers this morning a little bit too, Phil. How much is he going to miss Davante Adams? Is his wide receiver core good enough to win big again?
Well, I would say Yes, I think they're going to be good enough to win games for many things. I think they got a good football team. I think they're really organized. Matt LaFleur's done a really good job in all those areas. The defense should be better. Played well last year in the playoff game. You know, Aaron Rodgers will find a way to get it done. And, you know, one of the things, too, just as we talk about it, if you think hand size is not important sometimes for quarterbacks, just think of Aaron Rodgers. He's got, I don't care what they measured at the NFL Combine. When he shakes your hand, his fingers go about halfway up your forearm. And you go, what the hell did I just grab there? And the way he can flick the ball, do all those things, throw off balance, and it's amazing. One of the best I've ever seen in all the time I've been watching quarterbacks, judging them, all those things. But I do believe they can overcome it and find a way to get more guys involved. And I'll be surprised if Green Bay doesn't have a really good year.
I think the hand size thing, it's interesting you bring that up, because Joe Burrow's a guy who obviously was looked at with below average hand size. And hand size has been correlated to fumble problems in the NFL and concerns. It doesn't mean you can't be a great quarterback, but what it does mean is you can't do some of the things with the football that a guy with a bigger hand can do on the move, yeah, on the run, the hard pump, stuff like that. And that's something that Aaron, the more I think about this, Phil, it's not a popular sentiment because we know Tom Brady is the greatest in so many ways. I think Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback in my many years of watching football that I've ever seen. Pure talent, I'm not sure I've seen another quarterback with the level of overall talent of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I'm sure not going to disagree with that. When I used to watch Brett Favre after I was out of the league and everything, and I just was see him, and I said, wow, we're watching one of the greatest throwers in history and all this stuff. And, you know, he was tremendous. And look at that. The guy that replaces him, he's got a better arm, can make more throws, more off-balance throws. And I think that's why Aaron Rodgers, that's just a big thing. When you don't have hands that can really control the ball, two things. NFL quarterbacks now are gripping the ball different than I've ever seen. So they're gripping it way down on the small end of the ball much more, so they can be a little more handsy when they're off balance, running, throwing with people, getting ready to run them over, stuff like that. And so it's really important. But if you don't have those big hands and you're not wearing gloves, which Kenny Pickett does, that's one of the reasons why Kenny Pickett, I think, can really hand throw the ball too. I know everybody goes, what the hell do you mean hand throw? Aren't they all? No, it's when you really can't rear back or do anything, and you just got to use your hand to just flip it back and rip it forward and make these throws. It's a must in today's game. And most of these quarterbacks we see out there right now, they all are doing it. They've learned a new way. Patrick Mahomes brought it to the NFL. Now, he's reckless. He's this. He does dumb things. He rolls left and throws right, all this. And now we want it and expect it from just about every quarterback that comes in the league.
Did Patrick Mahomes, there was in the middle of the season there where they weren't a very good football team, and then we saw in the second half against the Bengals as well, and now he loses Tyreek Hill. Is Kansas City still one of the elite teams in the AFC?
Elite? I think they're still a really good football team. I saw today Mecole Hardman might be pulled his groin or whatever. He shouldn't be out too long. You lose too many guys like that. It's hard to overcome. But, yeah, Kansas City, the coaching, we all know that's real. And Patrick Mahomes and that offense, it's still going to be really, really good. And the defense, I think they did a good job in the draft. Karloftis, I hope I'm saying his name right. I know it's preseason, but he showed off in a preseason game. And, Kansas City kind of revamped their team. I'd be surprised if they don't have a good year. Do I look at them and think they are be the favorites to go to the Super Bowl? No, I don't at all. I think there's just so many other teams in the AFC, tough schedule for Kansas City, all that stuff. But there'll be enough there for Patrick Mahomes. First off, if it's not there, he can make it there by his movement, that which is great. And all of his crazy throws that he does, I don't want to say crazy, just all what he can do with the football, I think that helps him too. And it's got a very good offensive line. And a lot of times we look at Kansas City and we can say this and that about the defense. And I thought they made great improvements there, too, in the draft and free agency. They're going to be in everything. There's no way they're not going to be part of this race when it comes down to the end, to those last six or eight teams.
Phil Simms joins us right now. You see him on CBS. You've seen him for years. Guy who has played the position of quarterback. We focused a lot on quarterback. Kind of curious, New York teams, two quarterbacks that are under duress. One of them is a guy that can make those trick shots as we call him now, with the Pat Mahomes stuff, but he hasn't proven that he can just throw from the pocket and complete passes from A to B with poise, and that's Zach Wilson. The other guy is Daniel Jones, who, quite frankly, I still feel like it's a little incomplete on him because he has not had a running game. He has not had a very good offensive line. Is it just hard? You played in New York. How hard is it to win in New York if you're not a very good football team and you're trying to get better? Does the New York media, the New York fan base, does it make it more challenging, or is that kind of overblown a little bit?
Well, I lived there for 15 years. I think it's overblown. I think the New York media, people always go, oh, you're pandering to the media. No, I'm not. I'm not that. I don't care anymore. I can say whatever I want about them. And I didn't say anything while I played, but I think they're fair to the players. I really do. I don't think they hit pieces until you make them write it. And listen, you think it's tough here. Everybody always says that to me. When I started doing NFL games and went around the country, going to places like Green Bay and Denver, I'm like, oh my gosh, the scrutiny on this team is ridiculous. I mean, everything. There's 50 writers a day at the practice, writing about every little thing. And I found out, I said, man, New York was a walk in the park because all these other sports that go on here. And the focus wasn't entirely just on Green Bay, Denver. I ran into a lot of that, and I was kind of surprised. So New York, they're not killing these quarterbacks up here. I mean, there's a lot of question marks, and rightly so. I will say this, when you talk about Zach Wilson, and I know it's training camp, but I think we were going to see a huge difference in him from last year to this year. I think he had to have some confidence, how he played at the end of the year. You guys, you saw him down in Houston. Hey, it was a struggle early because he was getting back into rhythm of playing again and not probably completely healthy, but he made a lot of plays at the end, and it was kind of a turning point for him. I thought he played pretty well after that. I think he's very gifted. I heard an ex-quarterback on there couldn't understand why all these people are picking up for Zach Wilson. Well, let me tell you why. He's got a really good arm. It's exceptional. It's top-flight NFL. He can make all those throws, too, and he's a really good athlete. I mean, I just watched him coming out in the draft when he did, and I saw some of the dunks and things like that. I go, oh, my gosh, look what he's doing, jumping up in the air and 360 dunking and doing this other stuff. But his foot movement is good. Shame he got hurt here because I'm just telling you, I don't care when they say he's ready. I think we all know that takes about 3 weeks of playing to get through that injury, to get back in rhythm, and to be the quarterback that you hope to be.
Phil Sims, we got him for another segment. Let's take a quick one here. We've got Phil Sims.
Good.
With us here. Can you stay? You can stay for another one, right?
Yeah, of course I can. I got all day.
All right, we got awesome. Phil Sims for four
all
more
right.
segments.
Yeah, we got a show right after ours that you can. That'll be great. Phil Sims with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Talking football, Phil Sims is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. Fun.
Time to talk about McGrath Pest Control right now. You know what's not cool? Having bugs. Do you have bugs in your house? That's gross. Okay, look, if you're looking for a great way to get rid of those bugs, I had Hawaii out at the house. He sprayed the house not too long ago, and I know I don't have any bugs. Here's the deal. If you got bugs in your house, gross, call McGrath Pest Control right now. 281-469-8240. 281-469-8240. There's no reason to have them. And Scott, if you've got a real, real problem, Scott McGrath will work tirelessly to make sure that those roaches, those fleas, whatever it is that you've got in that house are gone. You don't need that. Also, termite. If you are selling or buying a house, or if you fear that you might have some termites, you need to get this done now. You need to know now. So call them because they'll do the termite inspection. I've got the mosquito killing machine in my backyard. I don't have any mosquitoes. It's horrible here in the city of Houston. Don't put up with mosquitoes in your backyard. Let the kids go out and play out by the pool or whatever. If you want to sit outside and eat, we never have mosquitoes in our backyard because of it. 281-469-8240. You want to get rid of those bugs? Scott McGrath, 281-469-8240 or McGrathPestControl.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Phil Sims is with us here. 15 years with the New York Giants, Super Bowl MVP, CBS Sports forever as well. with us here for two segments on the show. We really appreciate him being here. Great talking football with Phil Simms. We talked about the Chiefs, talked a little bit about Justin Herbert. I'm buying the Raiders this year, Phil. You know, they made the playoffs last year. They had the worst, one of the worst red zone defenses in NFL history. They add Chandler Jones. They got Max Crosby on the other side. They've got, now they add Devontae Adams. I just think this Raiders team is undervalued right now. What do you think of them?
I like them. You know, I like Josh McDaniels. I think he, of course, I know it's beat to death when all the people say this, but the second time around, I like a lot of coaches who get that second chance, especially somebody like Josh McDaniels, who I covered like 90 times up in New England doing their football games when I was doing games. And it was, I was always intrigued with all the things that he could do with the offense, his thinking, just all of it. And I think that's going to come true. And I think their offense is going to have to be special, really, really play well for, you know, for this football team to be what I think a lot of people are trying to say, that they're the, you know, an underdog or somebody to look for, a big sleeper. But I do worry about the defense. I worry about the secondary. Getting Chandler Jones to go with Max Crosby. Never seen anybody like Max Crosby. Maybe, I'm not going to say ever. He's got a little J.J. Watt in him. It's like every play is the last play of your life. And I've seen him play games where he never comes out. I don't think he came out of the game. Maybe he did. That last game of the year when they were playing the Los Angeles Chargers. And it's amazing he can keep the effort up and the production and all that. So it comes down to that. The pass rush, can it be special? But I think the offense must dominate.
Hmm. You buying Derek Carr having a big year?
Hey, I'm a Derek Carr fan, and I think he's overjudged by a lot of people, that's for sure. And we make that mistake. But he's big. He can move around. He's got a really good arm. And, he protects the football. Would I like to see him be a little more aggressive? Probably. But this is a different offense he's going to run with Josh McDaniels. It's very quarterback-friendly, which we saw last year with Mac Jones. And I think Derek Carr, yeah, I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. I'm not saying he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, but he's not far from it.
Well, let's go to a guy who probably is in your list of top 10 even right now, and that's Russell Wilson. We're in the AFC West. After years of playing in the NFC West, he moves over to the AFC West with the Broncos. Good running back, Javonte Williams, who I think is going to have a breakout year. How do you see Russell Wilson fitting into a new scheme, a new team, a new division? What do you see on tap for Russell Wilson and the Broncos?
Well, I think they're a good football team. I think he walked into a good spot. You know, he wanted out of Seattle. We know that. We knew that 2 years ago. And, Russell, like a lot of quarterbacks, they're so good, so powerful, whatever, they get what they want. And he's getting what he wants there in Denver. And the offense is going to be about him. And he still has the talent. Is he as mobile and as elusive as he was years ago? No, I don't think he's close to that. But he's a veteran. He still has a really good arm, and it's a good football team. I don't know if they're – I really don't look at them and go, wow, they have a chance to win the Super Bowl or really be scary in the playoffs. But I think they are a good football team, and Russell Wilson's getting what he wants. It's about him, and I think he'll do a good job, but I don't think Denver is going to be a team that I would fear if they do make to the playoffs. I don't see him going to the Super Bowl or having great success once it starts. That's just my opinion.
Phil Simms with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What happens with Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I can't even pick a spot to go. Everybody puts these teams, oh, he's going to go to Seattle. You know, I don't think Seattle is going to go sign, just me, Jimmy Garoppolo. And everybody can say what they want about Drew Lock and Geno Smith. When Geno played last year, I thought he played really well. In fact, Russell Wilson came back too early, probably cost them two games. Green Bay, Washington, they probably win those games because he just wasn't ready. But, you know, like a good starter and who you are and you're the man of the franchise, you suck it up and go out there and play when you're still injured. And it showed when you watch him play. So, but Jimmy Garoppolo, I can't even pick a team. I hear everywhere, and I just go, first off, now he's missed all of training camp. And I like Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm never going to get on somebody that went to the Super Bowl, and we judge everything he did that year because he missed that pass down the middle. Yeah, everybody hits those 45-yarders every single time in the NFL. And it, well, whatever. Don't get me going on that play. But championship game last year. But I understand why the San Francisco 49ers had to move on from him, that's for sure, because they wanted a different offense, And I think Trey Lance fits that team better than Jimmy Garoppolo does.
Phil, from an X and O standpoint, so many defenses now are running nickel, you know, as a base defense. I mean, it's
sure.
Teams draft third cornerbacks specifically to be starters, and it's really, really important. Similarly, teams look at third wide receivers in a different way. Based on, do you see teams from an X and O standpoint being able to, I remember Peyton Manning when he had Dallas Clark, they used to be able to run 11 personnel and still run at you effectively depending on who you put on Dallas Clark in the slot. You went small, he'd check in to run plays that direction. If you went big, they would throw and try to mismatch you. How do you see the NFL offensively and defensively now in terms of the cat and mouse game, where they are? Do you think it's an even matchup at this point, or do you think offenses still have a big advantage over the defensive side?
Well, listen, you know, one of the things about the NFL this year, they want to call more holding on defensive backs and all that stuff and pass interference. So right away, that tells me, oh, they want more scoring.
Yep.
And they're going to make it tough. They make it tougher and tougher. But, you know, you talk about what's happened, the spreading out of the game. I watch most of the draft picks coming out and all that. And I just go, oh, my God, he weighs 225? And he's, you know, I never saw 225-pound linebackers in my life, and I don't want to get it back to that. But linebackers now are almost what we used to see in safeties, and safeties are really a little bit of everything. They're fast enough to be corners, a lot of them, and they got to play up there like linebackers a lot. So that's really changed, too. And offenses, the receivers in the NFL, it's really like quarterbacks right now. It's off the charts. They're coming out every year in bunches, and you can hit home runs big time in the draft. And we see how they change teams. Jamar Chase, one year it's Joe Burrow, the next year it's Jamar Chase, and of course the Bengals. Every free agent they signed on the defensive side had career years probably for them. But you can get well quick with quarterbacks, wide receivers, and that, to me, that's really changed the game a lot, Lance.
What is the, I mean, the Texans, Phil? Do you put any time into them? I mean, it's just been so bad here for the last few years. What's the national thought about this team and Davis Mills?
Well, it's been bad there. It's been bad up here too, John. So it's... And I actually tell a lot of people, man, I want the Giants and Jets to win just so I don't get beat up every time I go out somewhere. Hey, what do you think? What's Daniel? Oh, my gosh. So I root for them just so we don't have to get bombarded with it all the time. The Texans, you know, they're in a tough spot, rebuilding, new coach, all that. Pep Hamilton, I'm glad to see him back in the league or being a coordinator again. But look, I think they got a pretty good offensive line. That's always the first place for me to start. If you don't, well, it doesn't hold true, does it? Because we had the Bengals in the Super Bowl last year, which was terrible. Not terrible, their offensive line. Joe Burrow took a lot of sacks. They got him, but he also takes a lot because he tries to get out of every jam that he's in back there. But I think the Texans will be a tough opponent. I don't know what. Well, I'll ask you guys real quick. What would make you happy with wins this year? How many?
A decent season would be 7 wins.
A decent. I think that'd be a good season.
Yeah. A good season.
I think a decent season is 6. But, you know, Phil, I mean, this is really going to be marked by what type of improvement. By the end of the year, what do you think about Davis Mills? That's going to be the defining moment for the Texans is, have we found our guy at quarterback? And if your answer is yes, whether you have 8 wins or 4 wins, I think that is going to be a win for the Texans. If they go into next year's draft and say, we're not even considering quarterback, we know we've got our guy.
Well, if they win 6 or 7, that will really put something in there where they won't think about moving on, that's for sure. And, of course, if he plays well, there is a chance, and it doesn't. But he could play well, and the team is still not great, which I tell you, I watched him at Stanford and watched him a lot. I think I didn't watch every throw. I'm not that guy. I think once you see a certain number, we're not going to see anything different from there on out. But I thought, you know, he's smooth. He's got good size. He spins the ball nice, throws nice spots. Does he have an overpowering arm? No, he does not. Is arm strength the most important thing to me in the NFL? No, there's a lot of things. But I do like strong arm guys. And we don't give them enough credit because they're going to make 4 throws a game or 3 throws a game that you can't count on with a lot of quarterbacks. And usually guys with really strong arms are pretty aggressive decision makers, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the league, we get too hung up. At the end of the year, if you throw one or two interceptions and all that, well, that's great. But I'm going to tell you, you probably didn't make a lot of good, tight contested throws or those throws that can decide the game. You can't be so careful that you don't make dynamic plays in this league anymore. We got too many quarterbacks can do it. We don't give those guys credit about that. And so that's maybe one little thing against Davis Mills. I don't think he has that powerful arm. And we keep talking about who's under the microscope. He is, for this reason, because he's really working for a starting job with the Houston Texans for years. And I've heard so much about the draft next year and the quarterbacks. And you know what? I would say right now it's probably real. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young. I watched this Tanner McGee a little this offseason from Stanford. He's interesting. I'll tell you the guy, Lance, I'm going to ask you real quick because you do this. I don't know if you jumped into him yet, but Anthony Richardson of Florida. I watch him on TV on Saturdays. That's what I love about my job. I get to watch college football all day now on Saturdays. It's great. But he just is such an unbelievable physical specimen. The running, the break tackles in the pocket, his throwing, it's good. I can't really tell sometimes watching tapes and stuff of that, but on TV it looked pretty good. It's just a man. The kid that plays at Tennessee, Hooker, he caught my eye, too.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crumb.
Yeah, I think there's some quarterbacks. We've seen it, dating back to 16 to me when Goff and Wentz were picks number one and two out of nowhere. People would have never guessed that, especially Carson Wentz. And ever since then, there have been guys who came out of nowhere. Baker Mayfield was out of nowhere as the first pick. Kyler Murray just came off, he was a backup to Baker, and then out of nowhere was the first pick. So
watch Will Levis from Kentucky.
He's the one a lot of people are talking about as well. So Richardson has rare size. He's 6'4", he's about 231, and people are comparing him to Cam Newton, but he has that dual threat capability. But I think he could end up being a better, a more consistent passer than Cam. Cam was a big arm guy who kind of let it fly and had some consistency issues down the field that don't always show up in that scheme. It really created opportunities for him, and you worry less about incomplete passes. But Richardson's got a chance to really make some noise. He's starting to garner some buzz after what he did last year, some of the flashes. And I think you make before we let you go, you make a really interesting point, and it's one that I've had to be okay. I have to get better at my process when looking at quarterbacks. I didn't think Josh Allen, to me, was just too inaccurate. He was too late getting rid of the ball, didn't throw with great timing, and then Josh Allen becomes this great quarterback, right? There's questions about the same thing about with the Chargers, Herbert. Herbert, not a great decision maker at times, too slow to respond, but had a big, powerful arm. You could see it. But the thought was, well, accuracy issues don't go away. Big arm doesn't solve everything. And yet, the same thing that both of these guys struggled with was not very talented wide receivers who couldn't get open and maybe had an impact on some of the, unwillingness to try to just throw with anticipation as opposed to, trying to fit throws in when there were contested catches. They both get to the pros. Josh Allen shines. Justin Herbert shines. So I learned that, man, NFL wide receivers, number one, can make a huge difference. Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs. These are difference makers when you add this kind of wide receiver to a guy with a big arm. And then more importantly, I think it's the level of I knew Josh Allen had swagger and poise. Swagger and confidence.
Right.
I did
right,
not
sure.
know that with Herbert. I didn't know
I
Herbert
didn't
had that.
Nope. A lot of good things there, Lance. I'll tell you. Justin Herbert, but I looked at the offenses too. Watch Josh Allen. You know why he didn't anticipate throws? Because he didn't have to. And, in other words, he just wants to see him open, then I'll throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball in there. And as I watched all their – I saw him as a junior, a sophomore, I think it was, at Wyoming. One night late, I'm up and I'm going, look at this big old dude. Holy – but I this is just me. You heard me say I would have taken Justin Herbert first. I would have taken Josh Allen probably first in that draft, too. That's what I thought of him. Yeah, I know he was inaccurate, but he tried to make, great throws when there's nothing there. And I'm not sure, but I don't think anybody in that Wyoming football team was drafted the year he came out.
No, he wasn't. No. The fans killed that pick. They killed Josh Allen. They killed that pick.
Him when they drafted him up there, too. I had to go on the radio the next day and defend Josh Allen because the fans were, oh, we're upset. You know, he's in, you know, whatever. Because the pre-draft notes on Josh Allen, it's like nobody could give any credit. Oh, it's the numbers. And they still, to this day, well, they got a new coordinator in Stephon Diggs. That's the only reason he's offering or what he is now. No, no, there's many reasons. But, you know, when you talk about size, mobility, strong arms and stuff like, and then you know the person a little bit, which I know we didn't know about Justin Herbert, and I think that kind of came through. They were in Hard Knocks. And I was hearing things like, this guy's got a little more to him, which, you know, I would say I was somewhat worried about it, but not worried, but thought about it. But he did have that other stuff that you're talking about. He can lead men. And I remember for Austin Eckler, I interviewed him the year before when Justin Herbert was a rookie. And I said, how is he when he comes in the huddle? He goes, oh, he's the man. We know he's the man and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, wow, that, I didn't expect to hear that. When I do games, just to let you know, not that you care, especially when I do quarterbacks, I judge just him. Because a lot of these college offenses are awful. And they're not even close to day one installation of pros. And who's around them, I'm just judging them. I literally don't look at their numbers ever. I don't. And I don't even know what their one-loss record is with the football teams. I'm just judging the guy because that's who we're drafting, the guy. I'm not drafting their coaches, their players around him, anything like that, the scheme. And it serves me well, bites me in the butt sometimes. And I just think, too, last thing, I got so much stuff here, but we're seeing so many quarterbacks come into the league now. They're kind of ready to play because they got a lot of experience. They got talent, and they're physically gifted. And it's fun to watch. And I just think, hey, you know, again, for Davis Mills down there, need a good year yourself just to keep the Texans from drafting somebody high as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Phil, so. One thing, keep an eye. I was out at University of Houston practice last night. Keep an eye on Clayton Tune right here at University of Houston.
No kidding.
I think he's going to shoot up draft boards this season. I really do. So. Keep an eye.
Well, you know, I cheat sometimes. I look to see, let me just see. I don't want to get ahead of myself on this because I got bored one day and did it. But I see some of these things. I think they had Spencer Rattler as one of the top quarterbacks that's going to come out this year. And I go, that's not going to work out.
Yeah, it didn't. It sure did. Well, hopefully he plays better at South Carolina. We'll see.
Well, he probably will. They're going to build an offense. I think they're going to have a pretty good team at South Carolina from what I understand. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a good offense and all that. But, you know, now we're talking about such different makers at quarterback that I don't see him as that guy. Hey, nothing against him. I hope he goes in the draft, makes an NFL team. But I would be shocked if he's anywhere in the first or second round.
Yep. That's Phil Sims. Hey, great conversation, man. We really appreciate you joining. We know you're busy, so it was a lot of fun talking football with you this morning.
Well, last thing, real fast. Lance, I'm going to give you a little credit here. I watched the Texans game last week, and, you know, Damian Pierce, boom, boom, and I'm like, what the hell is it with this guy? So I start reading. So, Lance, I read your stuff, and you go, don't understand why he's used so little, or something like that. And I went, bingo. So
I turned the tape on, Phil. I turned the tape on, and I'm like, well, let's see. He's 215 pounds, can collide through contact, and get yards for himself, which I had an NFL running back coach tell me,
yes.
Lance, you got to be able to create for yourself. He showed that ability. He reads the holes quickly and runs with good burst, but really good really good decisiveness. And then I look at his carries, and I'm like, he isn't even to 100. When I wrote him up, it was before the bowl game. He wasn't even to 100 carries for the season. I'm thinking,
I know.
And he had 13 touchdowns. I'm like, how is this guy not getting a ball? Then I see his coaches get fired, and I realize, maybe this is why they got fired, because this guy's not getting the ball. But the other great thing about Damian Pierce is that, you know, low tread off the tires. And sometimes we saw it happen with the great Terrell Davis. Sometimes guys just, for whatever reason, they get in situations where they don't get the totes that they deserve in college. But, you know, it's kind of a godsend once they get to the pros, because they've got plenty of tread on the tires and they can be used effectively.
Yes, it is. Well, we understand why they got fired now. That's mm-hmm. part of it. If you couldn't, don't tell me this just jumped out in the pros. And I did watch it, and I said, wow, I like this kid. I wrote some stuff down about him, and then I saw him in the preseason game, and I went, and I guess he's a hot topic down there. Everybody's excited about him, and rightly so, and good for him, and you're right. He's fresh, not beat up, and that's a good way to start your NFL career.
Yep, tough, decisive, and you have enough wiggle, and you can be a good NFL
player. I guess that's all you need. That's Phil,
all right, guys.
Phil Sims.
Thanks
with us.
So much.
Great stuff.
Hey,
have
man, we
day.
Appreciate it. Right. Good stuff. Phil Sims with us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now, while you're watching the game, you want to put in a dip.
Can we get him? Can you get him on to say, like, can you call him back and record him saying, have him say preeminent draft expert,
no,
RJ?
No, we can't.
Can you see
him.
If he can, like, just cut
oh my
it
God,
and
Phil,
then insert it into the podcast? It's like,
Phil Sims,
it's great to be here
Lance
with preeminent.
We'll never, ever,
can you
ever
get him to
hear
say
the
preeminent
end of this?
Draft expert,
how much
though?
Phil Sims
loves. He was
singing your praises
from the top of the interview.
Lance.
I know, but he didn't say preeminent draft expert. That's kind of my trademark.
That's kind of your deal.
I didn't make it up. Someone else made it up in the imaging, but I like it.
No,
and I'd like for it to be inserted when people, you know, come on interviews.
I got to give Lance a
let me start off by saying,
God.
But instead of Lance, that's what I'm saying. When he goes, let me say this before we start. The preeminent, and see if he can just, like, if you can cut
maybe,
the preeminent.
Did he use
expert.
The word preeminent in any, and you can cut it up?
Yeah.
And did he say preeminent at any time?
That's going to, I mean, he did two segments, so I hate to have him have to
call back,
get back on and record a just. But see if you can do that.
Oh,
you can
we'll
get him
never
to say preeminent
this.
Draft
this is,
expert.
This is awful.
He didn't
Thank
say anything
you,
about
Phil.
A Godfather.
Now you made this show. Nice job, RJ. Got Phil Sims talking about Lance. Now it will never end.
Preeminent draft
Time to
expert.
Talk about dip right now. That's my people over at Artisan Grange, and they're making a dip that is no tobacco and no nicotine. And if you're looking for that, and you want to feel a little bit better. So they have a hemp pouch with hemp in it. So you're chawing hemp. Now, you've also got CBD in each pouch, which is pretty darn cool because not only are you not hurting yourself, which you do when you chew tobacco, but you're actually probably going to – you're making yourself feel better, okay, because the hemp and the CBD, they have healing qualities to them. I'm not going to say that you're going to be healed from whatever you – I'm not doing that. But what I am saying is it's a lot better than you chewing tobacco, I can tell you that, which I don't want to put on anybody, but there you can get really, really sick from chewing tobacco. So get out of that and get into this. It's no tobacco, no nicotine. You got all the flavors you could possibly want. You like tobacco flavor, or you want citrus, you want berry, you want dark mint, you want ice mint, whatever the case may be, you've got it. Start, you know, wean yourself off that tobacco and start with this. It's 975dip.com. That's 975dip.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
News of the Weird brought to you by Simple Seats. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple.
And let me start this one off.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen this video. There's a video, a sideline reporter in baseball by the name of David Vasek. I think it's Vasek. Joe Davis and Omar Garcia Parra were up in the booth, and they had there had been a previous a recording. They were in Milwaukee, right, where they do that slide.
Yeah, Bernie the Brewer.
Bernie the Brewer does that slide, and you get on a potato sack and you slide down. Well, David Vasek, who is their Julia Morales for their show, right? Their sideline reporter.
Not as good.
Dugout reporter. Not as good, clearly. He said, all right, guys, so they got a video. They taped it in advance, and he slides down. And as he comes off the end of the slide, there's a padding there. He kind of falls out sideways and rams his arm and side into the padding. Fractured his upper arm and broke several ribs. He was back on the broadcast. So they showed that video. They start cracking up and laughing. Listen, it's not funny when you hurt yourself.
No.
Trust me.
He was hurt.
That dude was like, he had a fractured arm, and he's got broken ribs, and they're laughing, and they flash to him in, like, real time. He's got a cast on his arm.
I kind of feel like it's the last time anybody's going to be able to, other than Bernie the Brewer or whatever, they're going to let anyone do that again, because they got to be liable for that.
I think, but you can't be liable for stupid.
No, it was no question it was stupid. A Missouri pastor is none too pleased with his congregation. Apparently, they wouldn't buy him a Movado watch, and you know what he called him? Poor, broke, busted. He said, oh, man.
Jesus wants me to have this Movado.
This is how I know you're still poor, broke, busted, broke, and disgusted.
Busted with this poverty ass.
What are they called?
Listen to this. This is how I know you're still poor, broke, busted,
please
disgusted.
Please tell me this video.
Because of how you've been honoring me. I'm not worth your McDonald's money. I'm not worth your Red Lobster money. I ain't worth your St. John knit. Y'all can't afford know-how. I ain't worth y'all's Louis Vuitton. I ain't worth your Prada.
What's his name?
I'm not worth your Gucci.
What's his name?
His name is Funderburk. His name is Carlton Funderburk.
Are we sure this is real? Carlton Funderburk.
Funderburk.
Hold up, bro.
Kansas City, Missouri. He is pissed at his congregation because they wouldn't buy him a Movado.
I swear on everything. If we had this.
Well, we got to play it. No, there is a video of him apologizing, though. That we have.
Oh, no.
No,
it's here.
You got it?
Hurry up, Pastor Carlton Funderburk, and go find it. It's 56 seconds. Go find him. We've got to have this on his show. It says, congregation for not buying this sucker a roller. Kansas City pastor goes off on his congregation. Oh. Find this on YouTube.
We've got to hear that
before the end of the show.
In the meantime, you see strippers in L.A., now want to join the actors union. Do you think strippers are actors?
Yeah. Well, not strippers, but adult actresses are.
Well,
not strippers.
Yeah, no, they're in the union probably.
But strippers aren't actresses unless you're in.
You don't think they're acting like they want to be there?
You know what? That's a good question. Let's go to Reverend Carl. Let's go to Pastor Carlton Funderburk right now and hear from him.
See, that's how I know you're still poor, broke, busted, and disgusted, because of how you've been honoring me. I'm not worth your McDonald's money.
Come on.
I'm not worth your Red Lobster money.
Come on.
I ain't worth your St. John knit. Y'all can't afford it, no how. I ain't worth y'all Louis Vuitton.
Come on.
I ain't worth your Prada.
Come on.
I'm not worth your Gucci.
Come on, man.
You can buy a Movado watch in Sam's.
Yes, you can.
And y'all know I asked for one last year. Here it is the whole way in August. I still ain't got it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Let me kick down the door and talk to my cheap sons and daughters. I don't want to hear no more excuses about what y'all can't afford. You can't afford it because you don't see the value here. Y'all hear from y'all pastor and father, I'm over y'all.
That is the best.
I'm over y'all.
That is the best. I want to go to that church now. Now,
yeah. You got that one lady going, come on.
I'll pass.
Come on. You can't spend your Louis Vuitton money. Come on. Your Gucci. Come on.
That's the underrated part of the whole thing. Our pastor never does that. That's all. You know what? We got to get him a Movado watch so he ain't disgusted with us. Apparently, Japan, the government, wants to change something about young people. They say they're not drinking enough in Japan. Need to start drinking more to push the economy. Let's go, young people.
That's
your part.
Well, it's spending.
I know, it's spending
drinking,
money.
Drinking, spending too.
And, you know, and then you do stupid stuff that you have to spend on lawyers, you have to spend on, you know,
hospitals.
You know
what I call those kids? Poor, broke, busted, and disgusted. Go ahead and save that, by the way. Poor, broke, busted, and disgusted needs to be on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Poverty-ass Japan. Well, he didn't say a certain group, right? Just Japanese young people.
Young people. They ain't drinking enough. Let's go. Hey, a man was ordered in South Korea.
Y'all can't spend your Coors Light money?
What if he asked you for your Coors Light money? Dusty makes a good point. What if Pastor Funderburk says, You're going to this church. You think it's all fun and games until he's asking for your Coors Light
money.
Right.
Oh, no. What?
You see?
Pastor Funderburk, now you're going too far. last one in South Korea, 31-year-old man has been ordered to pay his girlfriend $1,150 for urinating in her Louis Vuitton handbag. Do you
should've
feel
given
like
it to Pastor Funderburk?
Well, Pastor Funderburk could have got his
own bottle of wine. Who pissed in my Louis Vuitton? That's what y'all think of me? Y'all put urine in my bag? Here's your Movado. It's got pee all over my favorite. You know you can get that at Sam's or Costco.
We're done. We will talk
did
to you again tomorrow.
Did you get a Movado for your 25th anniversary of radio?
I didn't get anything. Didn't get a Coors Light, okay? I don't think I got a Movado.
Mm. Did you hear the Wheelhouse all got Movados?
I heard. That's what I heard. We're done. Vanessa and Gallant next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. But first, I want to talk about the Morley Law Firm. Those are my people over there at the Morley Law Firm. I love what they're doing over there because they're helping people. And listen, if you've got an issue, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. The Morley Law Firm is going to make sure that all of your legal issues are, well, they're going to do everything they can to resolve those legal issues, be it you have any kind of criminal issue, be it that you're getting divorced, you have a custody battle, you have payments, your payments, your child payments, that there's it's at issue. Whatever it is, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. Do you have an issue with a doctor? Do you have an issue with an insurance company? Do you have an issue with the police? Because if you do, you need a lawyer. Any of those things, you need a lawyer. And the Morley Law Firm takes care of business and all those things. Do you have immigration problems? Say, habla español. So if you're looking for the best way to get out of these issues, no one wants to have to deal with a lawyer because something bad is happening. Unless, of course, you know, you're suing somebody else. Well, that's something bad was happened to you. So, look, you got to have representation. How about the Morley Law Firm? Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955 or morleylaw.com.
ESPN 97.5.